That song that Carrie and Kevin sang is a part of Psalm 32, verse 7, and some other ones put in there also. If you'd like to read that and be inspired throughout the week, we thank the Lord for good ministry and what he's up to through people, through voices. Great is your faithfulness, O God, my Father. And the Lord is faithful as a father to us, and is that way maybe to you if you didn't have a father who was around a real lot physically or emotionally or some manner like that. God will take up the slack. So that's a promise and a characteristic of his faithfulness. I want to concentrate on that gift today. The fruit of the Holy Spirit in the Christian's life is faithfulness. So Jesus is building his character in us. And faithfulness is a part of that character. Love, joy, peace, patience, faithfulness. We'll do that one and take a break for a while in that passage. But to look at faithfulness not as a goal to be attained, or else we'll fall down. Without the Lord's help, we stink at faithfulness. Not real good at that. I think in my own life, I like to do things in regiment. I like to do the same thing 9 o'clock in the morning, 7 days a week, 6 o'clock. Yeah, I like to get that, that pattern down. And somebody might look and say, well, that's faithfulness. I just might be a creature of habit. Okay. Faithfulness is heart leaning on God, God providing for us, the faithfulness of God working in our lives. So instead of, we could repent to receive that gift of faithfulness when we really receive that from trust in the Lord and staying connected to Him as opposed to any willpower on our part. See the difference between the faithfulness of God, look at the cross, versus, let's say, our New Year's resolutions. Big difference in power. Big difference in lasting impact. The faithfulness of God shared with believers. And so sometimes we sing in terms of God's work in our lives, Savior, He can move the mountains. Our God is mighty to save. Love that song. We can sing in the same way. Savior, He can move the mountains. Our God is mighty to sanctify. He's the one who builds these qualities into our life. Catch that passage that Fred read. May your whole body, soul, and spirit be kept blameless. It's going to take a massive work of God. And you know what? He is up for it. He is faithful and He will do it. So we're amazed at that. And God introduces Himself to us in the first 5 books of the Bible as a faithful God. Moses says, God is God. He is the faithful God. Last book of the Bible, same message. Jesus is called faithful and true at His second coming. So from the beginning of human history to the end, faithful God, from the beginning of your history to the end, every day, God's faithful. Helping, holding, reaching out to you, sustaining, okay, carrying you across the finish line. We can sing, Jesus never fails. Heaven and earth may pass away, but Jesus never fails. God's faithfulness, more solid than heaven and earth. It has to do with His character that was there before heaven and earth was created. So if we look around and say, I don't see any good examples of faithfulness, look at Christ. And look at the Lord, what He's doing in His people. So a Bible word faithfulness means you can count on me, I'll be there. You can count on me, I'll be there. And it also means absolutely trustworthy. One who keeps His word. That's the Lord. Sureness, steadiness, tenacious, and true blue. That's an old-fashioned saying, They're true blue. Think of an old Beach Boys song. Be true to your school just like you would to your girl. Okay. You guys can sing that to your mates, They'll be pretty impressed. But even they appreciated the faithfulness, the idea of what that means. And the Lord compares His faithfulness in the Bible to a rock-solid marriage. Bob Pasowski gave a great message yesterday at a wedding. he told the couple, boy, you have a chance to love and serve and cherish and put the other one first. He says, you have no chance of doing this on your own except Christ makes you able to do that. What a truth. See, and so God is faithful to a rebellious, sinning people. He said, I'll be faithful to you. In Hosea chapter 2, he said, I will wed you to myself in faithfulness and for forever. Wow. That's great. I'm so glad we celebrate anniversaries, you know, the 20-year marriage, 30, 50-year plus marriage, for God's betrothment to us forever. Forever. That's strong faithfulness. God is always faithful. I know when I don't see God's help, I get faithless sometimes. I've prayed a few times in my life, not too many times, and I wouldn't recommend it, but I've prayed a few times. Lord, there's so many bad things here, or the pain is over here. It's hard for me to trust you. That's not a great prayer, but that's my way of reaching out to God. I don't know if I can trust you. And when I say that, God, He comes back to me and says, hey, I am faithful. And heaven and earth again will pass away, but God's faithfulness will remain. It'll be new every morning. So when we're faithless, you're probably going to be faithless sometimes in your life. When you're faithless, God will remain faithful. He's hanging in there for you, even when you can't hang in there for Him, or even be strong on our own. For sure, we can't. A Christian man was a little bit afraid of the future in terms of the judgment of God. You know, he was sober about it, which was good, but he said, "I don't know if I could. What if I die? And my sins are too great, and then Jesus won't save me. He's just not, you know, he's just not merciful to save me. His shed blood's not sufficient for all I've done against God. I'd lose my soul and go to hell." And his friend said, "You know, you might. That would be a loss, but God would lose more." The man said, "What do you mean lose more?" Well, for one thing, he'd lose a loved one who he loves very much, and secondly, God would lose his reputation. And he's not about to lose his reputation. He is going to stick with his word that he would rescue you from sin and death and hell. And so trust him. Hold unswervingly to the confidence we know, because God who has promised is faithful. That's Hebrews chapter 10. And a couple applications today come from Dr. Rogers. Give him credit for these. He starts all these applications about God's faithfulness in us with a letter F. And he hit finances. See what else? Family. Fellowship. I like that one. And faithfulness to the faith. So just thinking of what God can do in us. And again, take these as a gift. Otherwise, you'll be a Pharisee against yourself, kind of saying, well, you know, you blew it again, and you're not even close to what God wants, so just stay home next week, okay? Well, we don't want to be that way in terms of how we think of following Jesus. So Jesus in us can be faithful in starting with little things, which surprisingly Jesus said would be faithful in finances. Finances. Now, if we go into culture, if we think in our own head and heart, finances aren't a little thing. Man, that's where it's at. I mean, that's where the rubber meets the road. That's what life's all about, right? Jesus taught the contrary. He said it was a small thing, which would be an indication of faithfulness in the bigger things, the more important things, the more weighty things. Example, Jesus was teaching about the Pharisee's heart, how it should be at peace with God, and he said, you know, you tithe and do that. That's important. But the little things there, it's a little thing. You do that, that's important. But you're neglecting the weightier or more important matters of God's law, namely love, faithfulness, mercy. So So we know right away, faithful in the little helps us be faithful in the big. And so seeing finances is in their place and an opportunity to be faithful in the small thing. I want to share these things because I think it's important. Remember, as you take care of what God has given you and honor God and be generous to others, that he calls us to faithfulness in that. But finances are a small matter when compared to God Himself. They're also a small matter when compared to eternity. They're also a small matter when compared to one soul. Jesus said, you can have the whole finances of the whole world over here, and one soul, if you lose that one soul, what gain is it? The one soul is much weightier than the finances of the whole world. Certainly smaller than God's Word. Certainly smaller than the cross and the resurrection. See, you've got to get that heart connected to that issue, those truths, and yet still be faithful in the little so we can be faithful in the big. Certainly, finance is smaller than the fruit of the Spirit. Okay. Faithful in the small to be faithful in the larger. You say, we could put our heart where our treasure is, not just with what God gave us, but what He would call true wealth. True wealth. In fact, Jesus tells a story in Luke chapter 16. He said a manager gave somebody 1,000 bushels of wheat. That's a lot of cupcakes and, you know, cinnamon buns and all that. 1,000 bushels of wheat and 8,000 gallons of olive oil. And then the manager came and said, okay, let's give an account right now. Let's audit. Part of it with the finance report of the church. Okay, we're going to audit that. See how you did. And the man was checked out, and Jesus said, aha, you did good. You were faithful in, what did He say? Little things. You were faithful in little things. And so now I can let you be faithful in true wealth. True wealth. So we want to ask the Lord, Lord, in terms of finances, be faithful in us. Help us to know that's important. But so much more faithful in mercy, in the gospel, in the love of God, the love of neighbor, those things. Ask God to put your heart right in that. His faithfulness is sufficient. And then faithful to our family. Who but God could take a guy who's very clumsy in relationships and a gal who really doesn't know what she wants? Okay, there are two ways of summing up how people often approach relationships. Guy's clumsy, gal doesn't know what she wants, and you put them together, and they say, I do, and it lasts for 60 years. You know, who could do that but the Lord? And He helps marriages be faithful and families be faithful. Faithful in to show children that Christ is number one in the hearts of mom and dad, so they're going to follow in that path. God enables us to do that. I was thinking of my own experience in pastoring. You know, for the first 10 years of being a pastor, most of the troubles in family life, wouldn't you know, dealt with guys. Because, you know, guys are dumb relationally. They don't know, you know, I don't understand why she doesn't love me anymore. I fixed the roof the other day. The car's running, you know. And so you start there and you try to see how heart to heart is of God. But really, that was years ago. But now, more recently, you find, hey, gals need that faithfulness as much as guys. Really do. For whatever reason, gals are like backing off of relationships. Well, this guy didn't work. He's a deadhead. I'll try this deadhead, you know. And it never does, you know, doesn't work out because heart isn't right with God in that way. Get that settled first. So gals, be faithful. Stay faithful. That's very important. Trending for the gal to hit the road. You don't want to do that. Guy, you know your problems. Stay faithful. Gal, stay faithful. Very important. And again, countercultural, but it's of God. Jesus in you can help you be faithful to the family. And then this is a good one. Faithful to the fellowship. Faithful to the fellowship. Jesus said, I will build my church. And I know as a Christian, as a pastor, and the tug of my own heart sometimes is to be less and less faithful in the local church. Okay. That's where people are at nowadays. Less faithful to the local church. And but it can go the other way with the work of God. Jesus is building the church. You and I want to be a part of that. And as God calls us to himself, he calls us to his people. And I say local church because it's more takes more commitment to be committed to the local church than the church universal. Right? Church universal is out there. I meet my favorite preacher, my favorite choir, my favorite youth group, my favorite, you know, study group there over there, and my favorite sanctuary pew down the road a little bit. But God, be committed to the local church. I love Charles Stanley's preaching. He's been on a ministry a long time. I ask myself, am I more committed to Charles Stanley down there in Atlanta or to Charles Stanley back there in the, you know, seventh pew of the church? Not to embarrass him. But we know more important to be committed to Charles Stanley in the pew. Right? God sent us together. I'm not in Atlanta. I can't be faithful to that guy. I would if he, you know, would cross paths. Faithful to the local church. Acts through Hebrews. Written to promote God's way in local churches. A big part of it. I love the story of Zig Ziglar, and coming to our benediction time here. Zig Ziglar was a very busy Christian, nationally known speaker, running a business, and he told people, as far as speaking goes, he said, I'm available 4 Sundays out of the year to come and speak where you're at. He said, because 48 Sundays out of the year, I'm in my local church. Because that's where God called me. And I challenge myself and you all, be more like Zig Ziglar, committed to the local body of Christ where God has called you to. Instead of, you know, who are you committed to otherwise? The invisible brothers out there. You're going to spend eternity with them. When you and I attend church on a regular basis, we really need this so badly. We tell people God is very important and my Christian brother and sister is very important. And that's Bible. You're not going to be able to, you know, trade those qualities. And then faithful, Jesus faithful to the fellowship in us and Jesus faithful to the faith. So we're like the Apostle Paul. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. I've fought the fight. Got the order mixed up there, but same message. Fight the fight, finish the race, keep the faith. If you're in a race, that means you're moving. Are you moving? If you're not moving, everybody's passing you up. You should be moving to seek God, surrender to God. Say, Jesus, be faithful in me. He's 100% faithful in us and to us. And in a closing promise, Psalm 89, God says about us, you know, I will not take my love from them, nor allow my faithfulness to fail. So God's going to be faithful to us. And we want God to build that quality in us very, very badly. For our closing prayer, I'm just going to read O Zion Haste here as a message, and I ask Bob Pazlowski to do a benediction. In fact, I need the hymn book. God's faithfulness to work through us on behalf of others is in this hymn. And God told Abraham that someday all the people who would turn to the one true God would be like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. I want you to keep that truth in your mind. This is what God is up to throughout history. Like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. In other words, a whole bunch will come to faith in the one true God. And just two verses I'll read. And Bob, then you pray. O Zion, haste, that's us, thy mission high fulfilling, to tell all the world that God is light, that he who made all nations is not willing one soul should perish, lost in shades of night. And then, give of thy sons to bear the message glorious, give of thy wealth to speed them on their way, pour out thy soul for them in prayer victorious, and all thou spendest, Jesus will repay. To trust in God's faithfulness, embrace that in your soul this week. And we'll stand for the benediction, and then I'll give you directions after that. Thank you, Bob, for praying. Let's all stand. Sure.